Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
And yes, this is our number two of Leading Edge Medicine, but I want you to know this is our number two of 4 hours that Dr. Mixon and I are here every Saturday, often with Dr. Samara Umat, who couldn't be with us today. She called in earlier, but she couldn't be with us again today. But we have 4 hours every Saturday. So if you would like to know where the 10 to noon show is on your radio dial, just go to our website, lmclinic.com, and at the top of the page, you'll see all the different tabs. Push the podcast. And when you push that, boom, a new page will come up, and you'll not only be able to see where we are for each hour, 4 hours all told on a Saturday morning, but you'll also have access to all of our previous hours. It goes way back. So maybe you heard something this morning during our first hour, which we just completed. Well, you can have your friends go back and listen to it. By Monday, we will have it up on our website at that same podcast. And you just go back and say, you tell your spouse, you tell your Aunt Sue, your parents, your cousins, your coworkers, oh, you needed to hear that. You really needed to hear what Dr. Mixon had to say between 8 and 9 o'clock Saturday morning. Well, just send them to lmclinic.com, and they can listen to it too, 24/7, starting about Monday noonish. Okay? So there you go. All right. We have three lines open. If you have questions for Dr. Mixon, you can call us at 800-465-8770. In just a minute, we're going to get to Peggy, who has a question about anastrozole, and that'll be interesting. You want to hear about that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about longevity labs, because having labs done inexpensively is a huge advantage. The basic full lab panel that we do, if you take those requests and have them done down the street at the, you know, Quest or LabCorp, you know, just right, typically done, what do those run about right now?
A little over $2,000.
Phew, you, no wonder you started your own lab.
Yeah. And the advantage we have with the lab is that we have this very, very fancy, expensive equipment, and it comes with, quote, test kits. When we want to run, let's say I want to run pregnenolone or progesterone or estradiol or testosterone or vitamin D or whatever, I buy a test kit that is good for X number of tests. And it may be, depending on the kit, 25, 50, or 100 tests that I can get when I put that kit in the machine. It doesn't matter whether I run one test or the whole 100 tests. It costs me the same. It's one kit. And it's the same staff time. It's the same overhead. So there is a cost, because I got to pay for the 100 test kit, say. But I can run 3 tests, or I can run 80 tests, or I can run 100 tests, and the cost is the same.
And it's minimal, because
it's not minimal, but what happens is, if I do a lot of the tests, the incremental test, the cost is involved in the first test. And every test added to that that is run on the same machine at the same time is effectively free.
Sure.
All right. So since I'm running the test several times a week, if a patient, if one of my patients needs to have a test repeated, I just put it in with the tests that are being run that next time. And so they can, if they need to have a particular test done every 3 months, that's fine. But they can have it run every month, every 2 weeks, every day, for goodness sakes. And as long as I get it done within that same kit, there's no incremental cost.
What I get a kick out of, for those of you who are regular listeners here, you know that we deal with a lot of different things that primary care physicians generally don't do.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting, and we hear this story probably, maybe daily, I don't know, but certainly all the time, is, for example, my wife's female doctor, Vicky, showed the lab work to. And the doctor says, I don't even know what these tests are. Doesn't even know what they are.
We
hear that every day.
Yeah, we are doing tests that your primary care physicians have never done in their lives. And, you know, that's because we are doing something different from them. They are treating disease. We are treating the normal but undesired changes of aging. They want to avoid you getting sicker than other people your age, recognizing, and they assume that as you get older, you're going to get slower, weaker, fatter, dumber, and sexless. Your brain is shrinking. Your libido is dry, is going away. Your bones are thinning. Your muscles are shrinking. You're shifting your metabolism towards fat. And that is normal. They say, well, what do you expect? You're getting older. That's exactly what we treat. We don't use age normed. Our goal is to use the 50th percentile, the mid-range of a healthy 25 to 30-year-old as our target for everybody. If you're 40 or you're 70, I'm using the same target. I want you to be as good as humanly possible. My goal is to make you leaner, stronger, faster, smarter, and sexier next year than you are this year. I don't want you going downhill. I want you getting better.
And for discussion real soon, not only leaner, smarter, stronger, sexier, my point is also,
and we now believe we've got some interventions that have a great chance of helping you to live a healthy life much longer.
And we're going to talk about those in a few minutes because we've got a caller who,
I was not planning to spend much time on this until they get the medications in for us in about another 4 weeks.
Okay. Well, just tease you then about senescent cells and various
other things. Can talk about it in the abstract, recognizing that we cannot, well, we can treat people right now, but it's very expensive. But in a month, we should be able to treat this same way, same thing, a lot cheaper.
That's right. And back to the labs. I have a good friend, and he still is a good friend, who took the labs here at Longevity, took them to his doctor that he thinks walks on water, and his doctor said, "I've never seen these. This is voodoo medicine." I've told this story before, but I get a kick out of it because that type of comment we hear all the time, not voodoo every time, but in essence, well, they don't, this is totally unnecessary. And this one guy said voodoo myths.
Well, and it's unnecessary depending on your goal. If your goal is to slide downhill at the usual and customary rate,
normal,
then this is unnecessary. If your goal is to be as good as you can possibly be for as long as humanly possible, then it's very necessary. But you see, his doctor has a different goal than we do. His doctor accepts the fact that as you get older, you should get slower, fatter, weaker. Your brain should shrink. Your libido should fade away. You should just be going downhill towards the grave. And if that is your expectation, then yes, what we do is unnecessary. But what we do is critically necessary if you don't want to do that.
That's right. So, this is why you often say normal is unacceptable. And more recently, you say quite bluntly, normal stinks. And
normal
so
stinks.
If you want to fall
when you're
apart,
over 40.
That's true.
Normal's great at 18.
That's it.
And
25.
Yeah.
But normal really does stink. The older you get, the stinkier it gets. And so, again, this is one reason why we are making available the free health analysis appointments. If you would like to get just sort of, you know, a better understanding as it relates to what your basic risks are in your aging process, well, we do the two free tests, the basic simple blood test and then the in-body. Well, in April, we've never done this before, by the way, but in April, we're doing it. And we, at all three of our clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland, we are giving a $100 gift card for all patients that come in or potential patients that come in for a free health analysis appointment in April. It's pretty cool. And we encourage you to do that by going to our website, lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. Easy to make the appointment. Super easy at lmclinic.com. So we encourage you to do that. Let us go to Kirkland and talk with Peggy. Peggy, welcome to the show.
Hello, Peggy.
Hi, Dr. Mixon. I've come to you before and you've helped me.
Okay.
I came and I had some really bad low blood sugar problems, and I didn't even know I had a heart problem. And they went in and wanted to put stents in me, and when they got in there, I didn't need them. Now I'm taking red yeast rice,
okay,
and I'm doing well.
Good.
And when I came and did all the tests with you, my A1C was 5.7, and now it is 4.9.
Wonderful. Okay, that's good.
And I'm going to read you my last blood tests, which were in January 31. My main question, I've tried many times to get through. You guys are so busy on Saturdays, but I am too. I have 80 students.
All right.
But I am taking an Astrazol 1 mg, one tablet a day. What other medication can you recommend so it doesn't keep ruining my bones?
Yeah. All right. What this lady is talking about, and I'm presuming you must have a breast cancer of some sort?
I've had breast cancer 3 times in the last 24 years,
okay,
but it's always tiny, and they cut it out. And this last time, my surgeon begged me to take an Astrazol, and so I did. So I've had it now. Next month will be 6 years.
Okay.
And I did start exercising after I came to your clinic in October.
Good.
And my bone density's improved. But I want to know if there's anything else I can take to quit this anastrozole and, you know, and still fight the cancer. I mean, I'm taking DIM. You showed me DIM many years ago.
Yeah, diindolylmethane, yes. Okay, let's talk a little bit about anastrozole and breast cancer and the side effects of the anastrozole and what we can do about it. Anastrozole is we call it an aromatase inhibitor. Most women, in fact, healthy young women in their teens and 20s, have twice as much testosterone as estrogen in their system. Testosterone is, in fact, our primary hormone for men and women. Most people don't realize that. The difference is women have a big load of estrogen on top of the testosterone. And as men and women age, testosterone levels drop in both genders, and since most of the estrogen is actually converted from testosterone, estrogen is dropping too. And when your progesterone and estradiol get low enough, you stop having periods, and that's where menopause comes in. If you have a breast cancer, an estrogen-sensitive breast cancer is a cancer that has changed, it's mutated its tissue so that it now makes its own estrogens. So it uses the estrogen made within the tumor to stimulate its growth, because estradiol is a mitogen, it stimulates tissue growth. And so the tumor makes its own estrogen. It's not dependent on the estrogen in your bloodstream. It's actually making its own. What we really would like to have is a drug that turns off the estrogen production within the tumor and let the rest of your body have the estrogen it needs. But we don't have such a drug. The only way to turn off the estrogen production in the tumor is to turn off all the estrogen production in your body. The problem with that is that estradiol is an important hormone. It improves brain function. It provides mood. It improves language skills. It makes your bones stronger because it slows the loss of bone. It makes your skin thicker and more elastic and much more attractive. It improves your heart function and your gut function. So estrogens are important hormones, but on the same time, not dying of breast cancer is also important.
I guess so.
Because if you don't breathe, the rest don't matter. So we have a balance. We give women the aromatase inhibitor to block all their estrogen, but in the process, we are accelerating their aging process. We raise their risk of heart disease. We raise their risk of osteoporosis. We raise their risk of dementia. All of these things are accelerated by dropping your estrogen too low. But it's a trade-off.
The other help is exercise.
Exercise stresses the bone and stimulates production. But there's another thing you can do, and that is to raise your testosterone. There's a fascinating study that was published a couple of years ago in which they took women that had breast cancer survivors and they put them on both an aromatase inhibitor, the anastrozole you're talking about, and they put them on a significant boost of testosterone, not estrogen, but testosterone. And the testosterone stimulates their bones to grow faster. It also makes their heart muscle stronger and improves mood and gets rid of depression, and locally within the urogenital tract improves their sexual function. So the vagina stops being dry and fragile and unable to tolerate intercourse. So what they did was they gave these women a big whack of testosterone daily over a 5-year period. And they found that it reduced the risk of breast cancer reoccurrence dramatically. And it reduced the risk of heart attacks. And they functioned much better. Their mood, their drive, their ambition, their self-confidence, their sexuality all got better. So, you know, if you're one of our patients, you need to talk to your doctor about running your testosterone load higher than we customarily run a woman's testosterone. And you may find that you improve dramatically, even with your anastrozole. Does that answer your question?
Yes. So do you encourage me to continue with anastrozole then?
I would say keep it up. If your oncologist wants you to have it, don't stop it. But we can compensate for it and make you feel a whole lot better.
Okay, one more question when you come back.
Okay, all right, yeah, the music is starting.
All right, you hang on then, Peggy. Sorry about that. I had to pull the lever because we're just getting late, yeah.
Okay.
But we'll put you on hold, Peggy, and you have one more question. You'll be up first when we come back.
Aging gracefully is a terrible option. Learn to live to your fullest potential. It's a lot more fun. Call with your question at 1-800-465-8770.
That's 800-465-8770.
Stay tuned for more.
All right, it's 20 minutes past the hour. Pete Talbot here. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Maybe you just tuned in for the first time. Hey, welcome. This show, 4 hours every Saturday morning, too, right here on KTTH 770 on your AM dial, and then two more on another station between 10 and noon. So we're glad you're with us. We talk about you and your health, and It is sponsored, of course, by Longevity Medical Clinic and has been since 1999. How about that, Jerry? I can't believe we have been doing this for 21 years.
Yeah.
Fun. Glad you're here. Now, Peggy has another question for you.
Okay, Peggy, go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much. I wanted to read you these results, Dr. Mixon, really quickly. My last blood test was total cholesterol 182, triglyceride 65, HDL 86, LDL 83, sodium 143, potassium 4.3, creatine kidney function 0.7, blood glucose 85, and I told you the A1C is 49. The calcium 4.9. is 9.3.
Okay.
Is that good?
That's good. Yes. you're doing good, young lady, considering where you started out. It sounds like you've improved dramatically.
How long did it take you to go from 5.7 to 4.9?
A year.
Okay.
Maybe 9 months.
Yeah.
From coming to your clinic, I got so frightened, and so I came to your clinic, and I want to tell you that I have the coronavirus.
Okay.
And I got a very mild case of it, probably because the way I eat is fruits and vegetables and salmon.
Okay.
And I exercise. I stopped going to the club, but I'm only fatigued now. It's been 2 weeks.
Good.
And the state doctor that calls you when you register that you're positive, she said 2 more weeks I should not feel weak. I feel tired. My temperature is 98 now. It was 103. I had aches and pains, but I never had the cough.
Okay.
So I'm in bed listening to you. Otherwise, you know.
All right. Yep. Well, my advice here is get out of bed and move as much as you comfortably can. And when you get tired, lay down again and then get up and move. You want to rebuild your strength as much as you possibly can, as fast as you can.
Yes. From the bed to the bathroom and back is a half an hour recuperation.
Yep. Unfortunately.
But when this is all calmed down, I will come in and we can talk about these other things. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It sounds to me like you are, how long have you been a patient at Longevity?
Well, a little over a year, it sounds like. She said October of.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So about a year and a half, it sounds. Okay.
Excellent, Peggy.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, ma'am.
Thank you, Peggy. Good to hear your story. All right. Let's go to Linwood and talk with Ed. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ed.
You do a great service. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How can we help?
I'm 89 years old. I heard recently that you can improve your immunization system by taking baking soda. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I've been hearing that since the 1970s. well, I want you to have acid in your stomach. Okay? Baking soda neutralizes the acid in your stomach. Mm-hmm. And when you neutralize that acid, you don't absorb your B vitamins as well. You don't absorb iron. You don't absorb magnesium or calcium or any of the positively charged ions worth a hoot. So I'm not a big fan of baking soda for anything except maybe brushing your teeth. If you have somebody who has been a smoker and has stained your teeth. Otherwise, I'd stay away from baking soda.
So what do you use to improve your immunization?
Muscle, low fat, physical activity. I keep my testosterone, estradiol, progesterone, pregnenolone, dehydroepi, andosterone, thyroid functions, growth hormones, all in the mid-range of a healthy young person.
That's the goal for all of our patients at Longevity. That's what we do.
I stay as physically active as I reasonably can, and I don't overeat. I do intermittent fasting, and for the last year or a little over a year now, I have suppressed my senescent cell load so that I no longer have senescent cells inhibiting my immune response.
And that is the topic, by the way, Ed, and everyone else listening, that is going to become a bigger and bigger part of what we do at Longevity Medical Clinic. We're 2-3 weeks away from making some pretty exciting announcement.
I wish it was something as simple as baking soda. But it isn't.
True.
Okay. I would also like one of those pills I see on TV, you know, that you take the pill instead of exercising. Because it's not that I really like exercising. It's just I hate being fat and lazy worse than I hate exercising.
That's right.
So it's a matter of which one I dislike the most.
Second question, if I may. Another elderly I met yesterday, and his answer was the doc gave him a shot. He and his wife a shot. And now they're immune from all of the bugs that are going around at the moment.
I'd like to know what that shot is.
So, I was under the impression they didn't know how yet what to do.
Well, that's like I said, I'd like to know what that shot is because that's a miraculous assertion that I am not aware of any data or studies to support such a thing.
Well, so, yeah, we talk about the flu bugs, but...
Might have just been a flu shot, then,
it
right?
May have just been a flu immunization. I don't know.
Which...
But that would not stop... That would not protect against coronavirus.
Right.
You know, it...
That's not a flu bug?
No, it's not. Influenza and these coronavirus are very different. The influenza is a DNA virus. The coronavirus is an RNA virus. They are quite different.
So there you go, Ed. Thank you for your call. Appreciate
it. Take care, sir.
All right. Let's take another call here. Let's go to Susan. Susan, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello, ma'am.
Yes, I was listening to you the last hour about asymptomatic. A person being asymptomatic and they don't show signs of the virus, but they can, someone can get it from them.
Yes.
My question to you is, I have not been in my father's house since this started. He's 92. Mm-hmm. And my sister, who has a disability, lives with him, and she's maybe a little more vulnerable. And what I'm concerned with is, say, 2 months down the road, they say we can go back to normal to a degree. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid to go in the house with them because even if I test, if I understand it correctly, if I test negative at some point, 3 days later I could get it.
Yes, you could.
Correct? Am I? So do I dare go in the house with them?
Okay, let's talk a little bit about asymptomatic treatment and you know how we want to approach this. There are, I think, 29 companies now that have developed an antibody test that have filed with the Food and Drug Administration for off-label use of their testing. Now, we have not got them all out in the public as yet, but the companies are gearing up and they're going to start sending out these tests, little test kits that you can do that will tell you whether or not you have antibody to the virus. Once you've had the virus, once you have antibody in your system, you don't get it again and you don't give it to anybody else. So, okay. So that's really what we need is we need to test everybody. Everybody that has all those asymptomatic people that had it and got over it and now have antibody, they can go back to work. They're not going to catch it again. They're safe.
Yeah.
Okay. We just don't know who they are, but we do now have a test. We have tests that have been approved. They just have to get manufactured and distributed. So I'm hoping in the next month to 6 weeks, we will have these widely available. I hope. And we can all go get tested and find out which of us have had it that either had a very mild case and got over it or who got it and never knew it, because that would be important to know. Okay. Those people can go back to work.
What if I did that though, and I don't have the antibodies,
then you're still susceptible. And I would say social distancing and wear your mask, wash frequently, you know, and if you go see dad, be careful. I go see my mother, who is 90 years old, every day. I don't want to kill mom. You know, I love my mother, but I wash my hands. You know, I use my masks regularly, and I go see mom. I hold her hands. Okay. I give her a kiss. You know, she needs me.
Okay. That was a huge help. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, dear.
All right.
Okay. Who have you got left? I want to talk about Vo. I wanted to talk about Vo for 2 weeks now.
Oh, that's right. But, okay, I'll tell you what. We need to go to a break. Dan Nelson just called in. He's on hold. So we'll take Dan Nelson, and we'll talk about Vo in Italy.
Yes.
A very, very interesting
story. Very, very important study.
Yes.
So, all right.
So hang on. Dan Nelson will be up. We just want to get a little update as it relates to there's still people in pain. And they're wondering, should I deal with my pain or should I wait 2 or 3 months? Well, you don't have to wait 2 or 3 months.
If I'm in pain, it's an emergency.
Well, that's right.
But then I don't do pain well.
That's right. Hey, we'll be right back with Dr. Dan Nelson.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Listen to past programs by going to lmclinic.com.
Call in now at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770.
All right, welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour, 25 minutes to go until the end of our second hour, the second hour of 4 hours every Saturday morning here on Leading Edge Medicine. All right, we were going to talk to Dr. Dan Nelson. Dan, are you with me, sir?
I am here, Pete. Can you guys hear me okay?
We hear you fine, sir.
We hear you just fine. Hey, I understand. This is an amazing thing. I understand that even though there's this coronavirus situation that we're dealing with, people still have pain. Could that be?
Yeah, pain hasn't gone away. And you know, I've been listening to the show, great show so far, but Dr. Mixon brought up the point, you know, inactivity or sedentary being, lack of activity is that's a risk factor. And I tell
it certainly is.
And you want to keep moving. And that's my job is I want to keep people moving. If you're in pain, the last thing you want to do is keep moving. Well, that's a downward spiral. And I think both of you would agree to that. So that's why it's such a great collaboration with Longevity Medical Clinic, because those patients already are dialed up to benefit from what I do. So, keeping people, you know, as humans, we're designed to be moving, and our immune systems kind of need that movement, as that's part of it, along with diet and appropriate, you know, supplements and all that. But anyway, that's what we do. It's a critical function in this time. So, yeah, absolutely. And we are open for business, Pete. As you know, we've ramped up our telemedicine, so we're able to see new and existing patients. And also, we're taking precautions in the clinic with, we're wearing gowns and gloves and masks and all that, and just to keep people safe. And we've got a HEPA filter in our procedure room. So it's a very safe environment. So we just wanted to let the word out that we're still open for business, a somewhat constricted schedule, but we're still taking care of people.
So for basic pain issues and shots and things, you're still up and running, even stem cell therapy?
Even stem cell therapy. And that's the fascinating thing. You know, there's a lot of reports, if you're familiar with, and I know Dr. Mixon, PubMed.gov, you know, that's where the kind of scientific article clearinghouse. Mm-hmm. These reports leaking out of China where they use stem cells to treat severe infections of COVID-19 in patients with severe ARDS. Now, animal models for this have been out there for years, but these, and of course, they're small studies, so anecdotal, but impressive results. And being a stem cell guy, I'm fascinated by this kind of stuff. So, and even in the New York Times, of all places, a couple days ago, they had an article, Unproven Stem Cell Therapy Gets Okay for Testing in Coronavirus Patients. So it's starting to leak through. It's probably too late for this current pandemic, but I think in the future, for people that are very sick that stem cell therapy will be part of their armamentarium for treatment. So it's just a fascinating time. I know it's a scary time, but we got a lot of hope and a lot of good things that are on the horizon.
Well, the point that you made, Dan, is so critical. Moving, being active, is really an important part of life. It's an important part of longevity. You become sedentary because you got a bad knee, a bad hip, a bad shoulder, bad neck. This is silly, especially when you can do something about it.
Well, you know, this study that you're referring to out of Wuhan that was on the 10 patients with coronavirus, this is very similar to what is being done down in Panama. Those are indeed, they used, umbilical cord that they expanded, and they got them over 100 million cells, and they, put them in intravenously, and bang, it decreased the tumor necrosis factor, it decreased the interleukin-6, it decreased all of these inflammatory immune functions that are destroying the lung. And by kicking out the anti-inflammatory, the protective peptides and cytokines, and it makes a difference. Now this is obviously different than what you're doing for joints, because you're using the patient's own. You're not transplanting stem cells like they were doing in Wuhan, but the fact is that mesenchymal stem cells are anti-inflammatory and they are pro-healing. And so if you increase the concentration of those in your shoulder or your hip or your knee or your finger joints, you're helping yourself to heal and repair and stopping the destructive process.
Yeah. So. No, absolutely. And that's kind of what we've seen. We've seen this even results in patients, in a small sample, admittedly, but in rheumatoid arthritis and psoriatic arthritis, we've seen fairly dramatic responses. And again, it goes back to the immune modulation. And the big 1918 influenza, which killed, some people think up to 100 million people, most of those people that died, the high risk in that disease was 18 to 30. People 18 to 30, because they were suffering from a cytokine storm, an overreaction. Their immune system was pushing the nuclear button, and that's what was destroying their lung function and causing them to die. So this is, it all ties in, because we know that stem cells are immune modulators. In addition to the repair function they have, the immune modulation is a key piece of the story. And that's even in the current crisis, we know that a lot of it is due to the hyperimmune response, the cytokine storm, which is destroying, among other things, the type 2 pneumocytes that make surfactant and cause ARDS.
The interesting thing here is, of course, this study and the other things we are now doing because we are shortcutting the regulatory process. The FDA has held things up for years and years and years and years and years, and now we've got a crisis, and they said, well, go ahead and try it. The stuff they haven't let us do for years, we are now able to at least try out, and guess what? They work.
What we've been saying the whole time.
That's right.
Might work. Why don't we give it a try, Come
that's
on.
Right. And, so finally the FDA is coming up. What I'm hoping, I'm not real optimistic just because I have a dim view of government regulation, period. But I'm hoping that this experience of letting things be tried in a hurry and moving ahead is going to continue after the coronavirus crisis is over. I did go back and look it up after last week because I couldn't remember if it was 1962 or 1966. It was actually 1962. Prior to 1962, the FDA required that we show that something was safe. We didn't have to show it was effective for anything in particular. We had to show it was safe. And if it was safe, doctors were free to try it. And what they did then, they said, well, we have to show that it's safe and effective. But the question is always, effective for what? Well, because the studies are so expensive, everybody has to pick one thing to try it out on. And if it doesn't work well for that, then it doesn't get approved. But, if it just, because it didn't work for this, it might well work for other stuff. And so when we changed the rules in 1962, we reduced the number of new drugs and procedures by 60%. We have slowed down. We have cut our progress by more than half by putting in that requirement. I'm hoping we can get them to say, doctors, prove it safe, then go ahead and try it, you know, and let lots of people, let the free market work and let people try things out once we know it's reasonably safe. That sounds like a perfectly reasonable thing for me.
Well, I totally agree with you, Dr. Mixon. You know, the compassionate use idea, I hope that, you know, lasts for a while. We've just, you know, we're in a war footing right now. We need to go with whatever we got, and whether those are antivirals, you know, repurposed antivirals, I think the hydroxychloroquine, that obviously has a lot of, there's a lot of people finding that to be effective. Mm-hmm. So let's just go with what we got, you know, and not be hypercritical of, okay, well, that wasn't an RCT, randomized controlled trial of this, but you know what? We don't have time for RCTs right now. We just need
people. Yeah. People are getting sick and people are dying. Let's do what we can.
And let me just point out here, folks, this is good information, but my heart goes out for those of you who are struggling with pain right now. Some of you, I have some friends. I have one good friend who's been limping around. He is in big time pain with a knee, and he's just procrastinated. And I've encouraged him to give you a call, Dan. Because being active, like both of you guys have just been saying, is critical. And plus, maybe it's keeping you from sleeping through the night. That creates all kinds of other problems if you're not getting the rest you need. Just the emotional trauma, the moodiness, everything that pain can deal. Well, you may as well get it dealt with, because just like at longevity, the same is the case if you go in and see Dr. Dan Nelson. They're being very, very careful there. And you can deal with your pain. So here's what you do. Give Dan Nelson's office a call at 425-823-4000. 425-823-4000. Say you want a consultation with Dr. Dan Nelson. You heard it here on the radio, whatever, doesn't matter. 425-823-4000 and deal with your pain. For goodness sakes, deal with it now. Hey, Dan, thank you. I know I texted you really late to ask you to come on in, but I'm glad I tracked you down, and I'm glad you called in.
No, I appreciate it, Pete, and you guys are having a great show. I'm enjoying listening to it, so keep it going.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to a break, and when we come back, finally, we will talk about VO. Is that it?
VO.
VO. and I'm telling you, this is good, good, good information. You'll find it fascinating.
Yep.
Don't go far.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Don't believe the lie that you have to fall apart at the normal rate and see what your options really are. Check out the free longevity seminars at lmclinic.com.
Stay tuned for more.
All righty. We've been waiting. Now, David and Kathy, hang on. I'm going to try to get to you, but we need to hear about what went on in VO. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay. Well, VO is a modest city in Italy. It's about 3,500 people. It's 30-some miles out of Padua. And it was one of the early cities in Italy where they had their outbreak. And they took a very draconian response to the early outbreak in VO. It only had two roads into the city. And so they sent the military to barricade the roads. Nobody in, nobody out.
Serious.
If you were in VO, you were stuck in VO, and okay. Nobody got to come in. And so a virologist over in Padua saw an opportunity with it to investigate this virus. He, being a competent sort of guy, came up with a test kit. And he went to Vo, and he talked to the city fathers, and he got permission to test everybody in Vo.
All 3,500?
All 3,500. Tested everybody. Well, actually, he got like 98 point something percent. He missed a couple.
Sure, you know, sure.
But yeah, he effectively tested the entire city. And what he found was that 50% of the people that tested positive were not sick. That's where that number comes from.
Well, say that again.
Okay. 50% of the people that tested positive weren't sick.
In other words, they didn't feel sick.
They were asymptomatic.
Okay.
They didn't have a cough. They didn't have a fever. They didn't have a runny nose. They didn't have muscle aches. They had nothing.
They had the virus.
They had the virus. The virus grew out of their noses, but there was no illness associated with it.
Okay.
Okay. And so he said, hey, let's isolate everybody who's positive, everybody, and their families. You've already in a city that is shut down. Nobody comes in, nobody comes out. We've got a closed system here. Let's isolate everybody for 2 weeks. Just those people. Now, the rest of the city didn't have to get isolated, but those people that tested positive, they isolated everybody for 2 weeks. And they went back and they tested them all again. And this time, they found that only 0.01% were positive.
My goodness.
And the only people who were positive 2 weeks later now were the relatives who lived with the people that were positive when they isolated them.
Oh, that's good news.
Okay. So if mom or dad were sick, then maybe, you know, the occasional child would come down and now be positive 2 weeks later.
Or grandparent,
or whoever was living in the home, because they just isolated the whole home. And so what Vo showed us was that if you can do widespread testing and you can isolate all of those asymptomatic carriers, you could basically wipe out the disease in 2 weeks. That was fascinating.
Boy, no kidding.
But that's where that number comes from, that half the people who are carrying the virus walking around the streets with you who think they are healthy and they're honest and they're saying, no, I'm not sick. You don't have to be afraid of me. Yes, you do. That's why masks are important for everybody. Okay. And so since we don't have enough masks to give everybody, then we have to do the best we can. And that's why they are now starting to talk about the face coverings, to at least keep you from spraying your microspittle on each other and minimizing your risks.
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
So that's where all that comes from.
Okay. Well, it's worth being careful.
Yeah.
It proves it clearly. All right, let's go to David in Woodinville. David, welcome to the show.
Yes,
hello, David.
Thank you. You got a one? Yes. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Hey, you got a wonderful show today, and you got Dr. Dan on there now too. Hey, I had a question about my brother has Parkinson's, and of course I'm getting older, and things a little problem getting things to the brain and to the heart. And mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about the L-carnitine, acyl-L-carnitine for delivery to the brain and to the heart, mm-hmm. and then things like D-ribose that get into the cells and, you know, can get the heart working better and all. I wanted to ask you about those if you have a moment.
Okay. Well, first of all, yeah, acetyl-L-carnitine, the reason, carnitine comes in a lot of forms. I like the acetyl L-carnitine because the acetylated form crosses the blood-brain barrier better. And that's why I use that one, because I do want you to improve cognitive function as much as we can. And the acetyl L-carnitine does get into the brain, and it does stimulate the mitochondria, the energy-producing organelles within the brain cells, to work a little better. They work even better yet if you'll do the acetyl L-carnitine with coenzyme Q10. Because the mitochondria has a double layer, and the CoQ10 will get it through the first layer, and the acetyl L-carnitine can then get on through to the second layer of the mitochondria. So you need both. but those two together do help age-related cognitive decline to some extent. Now, there's a lot of other things you have to do, obviously. You want to keep your insulin resistance and your blood sugar as low as practical. Remember, a person with an A1C of 5.7 is losing brain tissue twice as fast as the person with an A1C of 5.2. So both 5.2 and 5.7 are normal, but 5.2 causes half the brain volume loss over time that 5.7 does.
My goodness.
Right. So, and when you get up in the high ends of normal, you get up there at, 6.3, 6.4, you are losing brain more than twice as fast as you did when you were down at 5.2. So blood sugar is incredibly important for how well your brain ages. So keep that sugars down. Okay. The other thing is muscle mass. You want as much muscle mass as you can get, and you want that muscle to be working, because working muscle kicks out over 100 different myokines. These are anti-inflammatory pro-growth factors that are produced by working muscle. The more muscle you got, the more frequently and intensely it is working, the more myokines you produce to protect yourself. Same thing is true, by the way, for your heart. And it turns out that virtually everything that is good for the heart is good for the brain, and what is good for the brain is good for the heart. So once more, keep the sugars down, keep the acetyl-L-carnitine and CoQ10 at robust levels, and working muscle, because the things that are helping you to heal everything else are also helping you heal your heart. And remember, the heart is a muscle. It is a muscle. It's just like your other muscles, except that it's a muscle that can never be allowed to stop and rest. And guess what hormone is incredibly important to maintain muscle tone? We call it testosterone. It's not so important for your biceps or your glutes or the shape of your tush, but it is really important for your heart. So keep your testosterone load where it is safest. Okay?
So there you go, David.
And on the five-part sugar, D-ribose, is getting that into the cells, is that going to be important?
Glucose is the sugar that your cells burn most efficiently. So glucose is what we're really after, not ribose. Okay. So glucose is the primary fuel your body burns to stay alive.
So there you go, Dave. Thank you for your call, and I'm afraid we're getting close to being out of time. But if you haven't learned anything, maybe you've learned how important it is to get a jump on building your immune system, staying on the leading edge. That's what this show is all about, because it's good for you. It's the healthy thing to do. Is there a better time to be concerned about building your immune system and getting healthy? Well, if you would like one of our free health analysis appointments at Longevity, at any one of our three clinics, by the way, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland, we have just between 15 and 20 at each of our three clinics. At each of our three clinics. And what we're doing through the month of April only, we've never done this before. If you make a health analysis appointment, again, it's free, and you come in for that appointment in April, we will give you a $100 gift card toward our longevity supplements, just as a little extra thank you and incentive. Pretty easy to do. You simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and schedule your own appointment. Click on the health schedule button, and you make your own appointment. It's like a two- or three-step process. Easy to do at lmclinic.com. Or you can call us at 866-86-YOUNG. Find us for the next 2 hours on our homepage. Push the podcast button. We'll see you for the next 2 hours.
This is Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho and Conquering Your Pain. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we are holding off on our regular Saturday 11 a.m. broadcast, but we are still seeing patients both in person and remotely using telehealth technology. We offer state-of-the-art interventional pain services, including stem cell therapy for shoulder, hip, and knee arthritis, as well as for chronic low back and neck pain. Call us today at 425-823-4000 or visit our website, conqueringyourpain.com.